Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better with new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect. The fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Our yoga instructor challenged us to find inner peace. I found it faster than anyone. After 4 seconds, I stood up and screamed,
I found nirvana! I win!
They asked me to leave. I guess they don't respect winning. Bet365 does, though. New customers get $365 in bonus bets just for betting $10. Namaste, losers. Bet365. Winning is everything. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-MY-RESET. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome into the early line, hour number two here on SportsGrid. Kevin Walsh from Donnie Wrightside. Just one more hour to go. TMA crew takes over at 9 a.m. We've got a lot of Major League Baseball. We've got two games tonight on the NBA, but two good games. The Bucks and the Celtics, two best teams in the East, and then the Nuggets and the Pelicans here. We'll start things off, though, in the NFL. And my good pal Donnie occasionally has a take that catches me by surprise and maybe leaves me thinking, what is this guy talking about? It happens, right? Well, Donnie offered one of those up about a week ago. And that was that he could see a world where Lamar Jackson does not play this upcoming season. Admittedly, I didn't really see the vision there. Well, apparently, some others agree. Yesterday, we saw Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk say that as this continues, he sees a world where Lamar Jackson misses some, if not all, of 2023. Almost saying that if the deal isn't worked out with him and Baltimore, then this isn't going to be a deal at all. Tell the people, Don, because you have felt this could really be on the table here. No football for Lamar Jackson in 2023, and clearly you're not alone in that thought.
We talk about leverage. So many people swing it to Aaron Rodgers, the New York Jets, and the Green Bay Packers. Who has leverage in that situation? Who's going to blink first? But when we take a look at leverage with the Ravens and Lamar Jackson, Lamar Jackson's leverage is supposed to be like, oh, look at that. Transition tag, Kevin. Two first-round draft picks. Anybody can come bid on me. Not a single team has bidded on Lamar Jackson. So the Ravens technically hold that advantage right now where they say, we have the leverage. Nobody wants to sign you for the price you want. You're best off just coming back and taking a look at the offer that you declined 75 times over the past two seasons. But also, let's play it forward here. The transition tag is out there in the low 30s, which is a crazy amount of money for the everyday person, but that's not what we're talking about. That's not where we live at in the NFL. The traditional franchise tag that you would get placed on, which is the exclusive tag, would have played him close to $50 million. So maybe if both sides were angry at each other, Lamar goes, hold on now. Look, top of the market, nobody's ever gotten tagged for close to $50 million. All right, I'll bite the bullet. Can we just agree to next year you won't tag me and I can be on my way? I'll give you 100% this season. We'll see what we can do. And who knows at the end of the year? You might think I'm really worth that fully guaranteed contract. But if not, I can go somewhere else. Kevin, where is this heading down the stretch here? Lamar Jackson is going to show up in camp a week ahead of time and say, okay, guys, I'm back. And by the way, thanks for the $18 million haircut because you didn't put the original tag on me for the exclusive one at close to $50 million. This isn't going to end because it doesn't feel to me like there's even a meeting of the minds in the middle here going like, okay, you weren't fully guaranteed. You're not going to get that. But how about we pay you this amount to try to make up for it? It feels like all or nothing from both sides where Lamar, from every step we've read, Kevin, for the past year, every time the Ravens countered and said, okay, well, here's what we'll raise it up to, Lamar's counter back was, that sounds great. Now make it fully guaranteed and we can talk. I don't see where this headed, but you're right, Kevin. For me, it seems like the percentages keep moving higher and higher that Lamar Jackson is going to miss time. Does that mean a game or two? Or does that mean the entire 2023 season?
I still, despite the fact that, you know, again, it seems to be a very valid conversation, would be surprised if Lamar missed time. I think that would be very embarrassing, by the way, for the league. 26-year-old MVP doesn't miss his time because nobody wants to pay him. It's just outrageous, the notion there, and I think far too many people are accepting it. Again, crazy contract demands are one thing, but as we always say, it only takes one team. It only took the Browns, right? Just the Browns had to do what the Browns had to do. And then Deshaun Watson got paid. The radio audience is here on a Thursday morning, early line, Sirius XM, channel 159. There's another Ravens-related story, which is that Baker Mayfield turned down a contract from the Baltimore Ravens. At the time, he was unaware of all of the Lamar Jackson stuff. And for Baker, he probably thought there would be, you know, a spot somewhere where he could go, compete, win a starting job. And that's obviously what he landed with in Tampa Bay. And I'd love to ask you about what Baker could have done in Baltimore, but I'll do that in a second. The fact that the Ravens reached out to Baker Mayfield, Pro Bowl Snoop Huntley's already on the roster. So I don't want to really hear that Baker Mayfield was coming in to be a high-level backup quarterback, DRS. Does that not continue to strengthen my point that not only does Lamar want out of Baltimore, but the Ravens are very okay moving on from Lamar Jackson?
I mean, also, maybe the worst fit in the NFL for Baker Mayfield for a team. Number one, he's going to go to a really competitive division. Number two, if Lamar Jackson ever comes back, he has no chance to start. And that team is basically built around running the football and Lamar making plays. Like, look, Baker Mayfield isn't a statue in the pocket, but he's not Lamar Jackson. And if I look at the two organizations, whether they go to the Ravens or Tampa, forget about how they're run or how their GMs are, Tampa's a far better situation for Baker Mayfield to resuscitate his career than come in and go, okay, I'm the starter for the Baltimore Ravens. And Harbaugh goes, like, yeah, you're going to throw the ball like 13 times a game. And if you throw one interception, Snoop's coming in the game here to try to take over. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I don't even understand at all, Kevin, what Baker Mayfield and the Ravens would have been good for. Nothing.
Yeah, so I actually don't. I do not think it's a mistake for Baker Mayfield. I think he's better off in Tampa Bay. The weaponry looks better. The division looks like it could be lighter. And the competition is likely not going to be as stiff. If Baker gets benched for Kyle Trask, that is going to be entirely Baker Mayfield's fault. Baker getting benched for Tyler Huntley, different story. Huntley, again, like the Ravens can turn to Huntley and it doesn't come off as much of a joke. Leave the Pro Bowl stuff at home. But the fact that the Ravens offered Baker Mayfield a contract, what does that say about where the Baltimore Ravens are right now and what they actually want to be doing at the quarterback position? And just listen, the Ravens, the poor Ravens, they're offering him so much. Hey, can Ravens kick rocks, man. Let's get to the NBA preview coming on up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What do you say, folks? A little NBA here. Two games on tonight's slate, but two good ones involving the two best teams in the Eastern Conference, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Boston Celtics, and then you've got late night, the Denver Nuggets and the New Orleans Pelicans. Let's start this off, though, as we have for a couple of days in a row now here when we break down the NBA, with a little talk about a same-game parlay. Ooh. Yesterday, almost 8-1, right within reach. Mm. That's all right. We'll get there. We'll get there. We just keep fading old DRS, man. He starts giving out nonsense unders. Let's see if he's got any of those lines. Let me check through the scope here. What do you got, Don? A little same game parlay for the people early morning.
Yep, ready to go. And losing counts just the same yesterday. Kevin had a player prop go over 30 points. Didn't matter. Might as well have been over 150 points, K-Dub. He didn't cash that ticket. But let's have some fun today. And it deals with the Boston Celtics for me, Kevin. If we're looking at back-to-back performances here, now granted, you did have a road game for the Milwaukee Bucks. They're coming back home. There should be some points in this game. I think Tatum is going to shine tonight. So part of that for me, 25 points or more for Jason Tatum. But also, how about this? I'm going to take the Boston Celtics as a dog tonight at plus 3.5 points. For some reason, the calculator always comes out to plus 143, which we're doing again today.
No, that's my same game parlay. What kind of gimmick
Let's
is
go.
That?
Let's go, Celtics.
No, nah, it's not, it's not 143
that in myself.
Yeah, that's no. Are you? Like, what's the story?
Yes.
Then? Something's
I don't know.
Have you changed the price? Are you just leaving it be? I don't know. That's
I think they're blocking me on that. Yeah. That's not 10-1. That's crazy.
Have you? The straw poll just came out. All right, here's my same game parlay.
Yes, go.
Tatum, Brown, Smart. Tatum for 3 threes. Brown for 2 threes. Smart 4-1. I told you I put those Tim Bontemps notifications on. Now here's the deal. What am I gonna read this while this is going on here? I don't know. We're going to try and find it out. All right, straw poll voting right now. It is a two-point gap. Is this correct? It is a two-point gap between Embiid and Jokic. And Giannis still has juicier. Man, more first-place votes for Embiid. This is live. Look, this is what matters, folks. This is the deal here.
Yeah.
So Embiid right now with 790 points, 788 for Nikola Jokic, and Giannis at 612. Wow, here's the best part, Donnie. I don't know if the odds are going to move at all. Oh, they already did. Embiid's down to plus 110.
They did.
Jokic plus 125. Yep. What do you quick reaction here, Donnie, as I try and get more information out of this straw poll.
I think it really sets up well for Joel Embiid because to get back to your point where so many people were putting so much on that last game for the Nuggets, it looks like the voters are still up in the air with that lean towards, you know, not Nikola Jokic, but towards Joel Embiid. So now Joel Embiid can see that going, okay, let me go off in the final couple games and this will be mine. I love where it sits right here, but I'm interested to see where these numbers actually line up because Giannis now a plus 460 in third place.
Here's what I got for you, though. This was conducted in a 36-hour period from Monday afternoon to Tuesday night. So they were trying to give you that hey, the Embiid game, he did not play. Did that sway people? There's some quotes in here from Bontemps, voters saying this might not be my final answer. Another said, can't you just wait until the regular season is over, as people are obviously still battling with this here. This is not going to lead to some massive Embiid runaway, though. However, the fact that this then poll was taken and everybody was not only aware that Embiid didn't play Monday, but Donnie, it's all anybody could talk about. You know that that hurt Embiid in that immediate conversation there. This is a good result here for Joel Embiid. Because I think as now there's more time that goes away from him missing that game, Embiid can grow in favor.
You know what also I like as well, Kevin, because if we rewind time to, let's just say, go back a year ago, we thought Joel Embiid was the runaway winner for the MVP at this time before the straw poll came out. Then the straw poll comes out and he goes, what, are you kidding me? What, none of you fans watch basketball? Jokic is by far the best player, and here's the layout and why we're voting for him. And Embiid went to a favorite within 24 hours, was a mark dog at that point. So now you're taking a look at try to head, because all throughout the season, the betting at the FanDuel Sportsbook, we had Nikola Jokic as the heavy favorite. Joel Embiid closed that gap, and it looks like we were finally going to get that one game one-off that was going to be for the supremacy of the NBA. We didn't get that here, but I love the fact that you put in there, too. This wasn't like, hey, by the way, it took 2 weeks to get done, and we actually voted on it 2 weeks ago, but just to tabulate the polls, it took some time, and now it just came out. This goes to show that a lot of those votes were already in, even though that game technically took place without Joel Embiid. I think this bodes well. So if you're looking at the FanDuel Sportsbook right now, and we always tell you, the FanDuel Sportsbook doesn't have the single vote for the MVP, and that's why the line is moving. It's going to move now because now we see like, oh, Jokic isn't a runaway now for the MVP award. He didn't clinch it in the Denver Nuggets victory over the Philadelphia 76ers. I look forward to see where Joel Embiid ends up at the end of today, or quite frankly, Kevin, by lunchtime today.
Well, look, and that's also relevant. I'm not trying to overhype us up. Nobody else is giving you this right now. If you're up right now and you're with us here, nobody else is giving this. Most people aren't awake. Most people didn't know to turn Bontemps notifications on, and most people aren't live and in action here with the FanDuel Sportsbook. That's just the deal of it, okay? That's just the deal of it. So you're getting the first crack at this because as people wake up, roll over 9:30. Oh, wow, look at that. Embiid won the straw poll. Oh, it was close, but I'll still go out there and grab a piece of Embiid. Here's the big thing for me. Joel Embiid plays at Milwaukee on April 2nd, which is this Saturday, and home against the Celtics on April 4th, which is next Tuesday. Those are primetime major marquee games. Jokic, on the other hand, has a game tonight on TNT, right? NBA TV at Phoenix, does he play? NBA TV Sunday, home against the Golden State Warriors, and another game at Phoenix. They both have potential marquee matchups on their plate. Embiid has such a clear opportunity, but does he have to beat the Bucks and the Celtics? Like, is that what Embiid has to do? I think the biggest takeaway, Donnie, do you agree that the straw poll didn't have the impact
that you that we would have anticipated here, and it basically confirms to us this is actually going to be a vote decided over the next 10 days?
Yes, and I don't actually think the records will even matter at this point, Kevin, because the one thing you were waiting on, again, from last year was, well, Embiid's the best player in the NBA, and the voters going like, it's not even close. It's actually Jokic. Now that they're actually saying that Embiid is in that dead heat, which leads me to believe is the Sixers can't fold from a top spot, Kevin. Why? Because they're not in a top spot. The Denver Nuggets can actually fold from a top spot, even though I don't think they are. But the Sixers aren't in a position where now you're saying to yourself, well, let's see how the Sixers do over the final 8 games of the season. If they don't have a winning record and Joel Embiid plays well, I'm going to knock them for that. It doesn't feel like that. It almost feels like to me, Kevin, if Embiid is like 30-10 every night on the way out, he's going to win this award. There is no extra credit, per se, for the Sixers, or even extra credit that you can lose if you're either player. Whoever has those sensational games on national TV, and just like we talked about, the most outstanding player in the Final Four, it feels like it might come down to, Kevin, like the final 2 games of the season. This is good stuff.
Yeah. Here's the deal, though. Giannis got 18 first-place votes. There's a gap. But that means that there's Giannis people. And Giannis tonight plays Boston, primetime spot, and then has that Philly game that I just talked about for Embiid. Here's the difference for Giannis. He's home in both of those games. He's favored in both of those games. If you get 35-15-5 Giannis and a 2-0 sweep here, I don't think Giannis is done. I really do not think Giannis is done, DRS, here. They're going to have the best record in the NBA. They got a shot at 60 wins. They have to win 5 of their last 6 games. They got a shot at 60 victories here. I don't think Giannis is done just yet either. Straw poll, that's what we wanted. At the end of the day, the rest of the NBA games, you tune into Moneyline, we'll give you a little bit of juice on them, folks. Because we got Major League Baseball to get to here. All we wanted was the straw poll, and we got what we wanted, which is what you love to see. Keep it right here. It's the Early Line live on a Thursday morning.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Straw poll day. Opening day kick rocks. Let's keep breaking down the NBA's MVP award here. I heard the baseball season's pushed back till tomorrow. Donnie, can you confirm such rumors? Is it true? Is it true that they're going to talk about the straw poll today on the Yankees opening day broadcast here? Michael Kay loves to give a good take. I could see it.
I don't know. I heard the weekends now. They're saying, you know what? Maybe more baseball in the weekends here than betting on rims and stuff like that. So we'll see. We'll see.
Diamond cuts. That's we see you can cut up the diamonds, man.
Ooh, that hits. Whoa. Man. When you hear that, it's like, ooh. That's yeah. Wow.
Are you trying to get booked? You're trying to get booked. What's the deal there? What's the schedule look like, man?
If you want to tape delay it, I'm in for it. So you know where I'm going there.
which many people know is how all programming operates there. Shall we, though?
Okay, by the way,
shall we get to opening day?
Go ahead. Like, you're going to see some basketball programming come up. I think it was filmed in September. So good luck with that, folks.
You know what? That actually will shine favorably. Like, man, how did they know that the odds would look like this? This is pretty impressive there, man.
Geniuses.
We'll see. Yeah, we know what we're doing, man. Jackets, what do you think? Jackets on the weekend? Jackets? Button-down
double
style?
Jackets?
Oh, 2 jackets. Yeah. You know what,
with
man?
With a quarter zip underneath.
Here's the thing, though, Donnie. As a big fella, if I got to put a second jacket on, that second jacket's got to be real big, man, though. It's going to be real big.
Yeah, by the way, have you ever had the look where it's like you had the hoodie under the jacket? Like, there's no way I could fit that. Like, how could you be comfortable with that?
I've never done it. I could see it, though.
Yeah.
Hold on. You think you can get away with that on a Friday? Jacket-hoodie combination?
I mean, if you want me to pass
I think you
out.
Can get away with it. Well, you'd be, what do you mean? You'd be fine. You'd be fine.
I mean, come on.
You got the temp on there like 60 degrees, like my roommates. You'd be fine.
Yeah, you got to keep it a tune down here to get me in that. Yeah, jeez.
All right, man. What do you say? A little Major League Baseball, man. Yanks, Giants, this is where it all begins. Do we get straight into the games? I honestly don't even – what do we do here? Do we get straight to the games? Do we have other things that we are supposed to set up? What's the story, Donnie? Just Garrett Cole, Logan Webb, what do you think?
Now here's what we're embarking on a long season. So Kevin and I are going to have a lot of content in Major League Baseball. We always like to say that, look, it's you know, it's not going to be a sprint here. It is a marathon in Major League Baseball season. And my preference in baseball is let's take some time here to actually see what some of the statistics are. And if you watch through last year on the early line, the joke was, all right, we're finally in May. Donnie, give me some statistics. Yeah, it looks like everybody stinks, Kevin. Let's wait another week. Okay, Donnie, we wait another week. What are the stats now? Looks like everybody stinks here at this point, so let's give it another week. Here's what we want to happen here. There's rule changes in Major League Baseball, but it should be advantageous to scoring more runs, and we should have a lot more fun. We should have more stolen bases, more base hits. That's great here because the people out there that like same-game parlays, hitter prop parlays, RBI parlays to hit home runs, they should all be up this year as well. So we'll have some fun with that. But again, Kevin, when we start here in New York and I see a low total, I immediately go to myself and say, what are the weather conditions here going to be like? How about 41, Kevin, at first pitch? That sound good?
Oh, boy. Yeah, it sounds great. So I'll tell you, pardon me. We will be on Moneyline 1 p.m. Eastern until 3 p.m. Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
It almost feels like an absolute lock that if you tune in, now you should be tuned in starting 1 o'clock, let's be honest here. But if, say, you tune in at 2:15, Don will be looking at a Yankees Live team total at about 1.5 if you want to get in the mix there,
plus
which
money
is what we've seen so often. And I do think that is an important point here because there is a lot of hype and anticipation for the baseball season, but especially for what Donnie likes to do. And I cannot implore people to trust Donnie when it comes to this sport more and more. This is for all your love for football when it comes to kind of handicapping here. I think this is where you shine the brightest. Takes a little bit of time, though, because you want numbers to develop. So early season, we're figuring out. We're figuring out who we can trust and who we can't trust. So what then is the approach for you? When I throw you Yankees-Giants on opening day, Garrett Cole's got the ball, flirting with a near minus 200 number and a total of 7.
It's more underdogs than not early in the season because also, Kevin, when we take the human element in, everybody, including fan bases, yes, Pittsburgh Pirates, Kansas City Royals, we're excited for Major League Baseball and opening day, but also the premise of a new season is on the horizon. Everybody's excited to be there. You're going to get organization's best punches early in the season than opposed to late. Sure, teams like the Yankees, we figure to get an honest effort, Kevin, in July, August, and September. Why? Because they're supposed to be good. They have a high payroll, and they probably will be good. But teams that they're going to face off of, some of the lesser ones, maybe that organizational shift from, okay, we're out of the playoff race. We're not going to make any trades at the deadline. Let's let some young kids play. And if we lose the game, hey, higher draft pick next year. So keep in mind, in the month of April, you're going to see some pretty good dogs because, once again, pitchers aren't stretched out. It's cold weather. Hitters aren't into a groove. You don't have your exact bullpen assignments figured out for at least quite some time. That's when it's advantageous to take underdogs here. So if you're going to go out on opening day, and I'm not even talking about parlays, Kevin, just taking heavy favorites by going like, oh, hold on now. The Giants weren't very good last year. I expect the Yankees to be good. The Yankees have their ace on the mound. I'm going to lay minus 188. Like, hold on. What? Garrett Cole just threw 68 pitches. He's out in the fifth inning. He looks so good. That's what's going to happen early on in the season. That's what I want to prep people for.
Yeah, I think it's a good point by you. Here is the other thing I want to mention quickly. Is the hitter props and where these numbers sit now and how things could very well change with, of course, the switching of the shift. Are guys getting on base more often? Are guys getting hits more often now that the shift is gone? And I think that one guy I'm very interested in, just looking at this Yankees game here, you know, Anthony Volpe is minus 135 to record a hit. Volpe is up here to be a to be a 300 hitter for the Yankees in a great scenario. Obviously, those are spring training numbers. He's a rookie. That's big expectations. Why is his number so short? Well, he might be batting ninth in the lineup. And at the end of the day, if Volpe only gets 3 at-bats and your DJ LeMahieu's get 4 at-bats, your Aaron Judge get 4 at-bats, that is, of course, a big difference there, and that's how that pricing becomes what it is. The next game we'll get to is the other 105 start time here, which is the Nationals and the Braves, minus 270 number. On Atlanta, total 7.5. And it's one of the, like, of course the Braves are minus 270 against the Nationals, but that's a lot, Donnie, for opening day baseball and on the road as well.
It is. Now, also, you have to preface it. You have to take some of those preconceived notions that you had from the year before, because as I prefaced it here, everybody's excited. Everybody's on point for opening day. The Braves markedly are a better team overall than the Washington Nationals. You could just see it in the team totals, Kevin. You could see it in the pricing to win the division and also National League and also World Series. Much, much better than with the Nationals. Not even close at this point. So you try to factor in what makes some sense. So I think the Braves are going to win the game. Yes, I do. But if the Braves are going to win the game, Kevin, means you're going to have to score some runs, right? 3, 4, maybe 5 to get the job done. I'm not going to go into this game saying, you know what? If the Braves scrape together 2 runs, that should be enough. We don't know how these pitchers are going to come out. And still, when we look at the temperatures, 48 degrees with a light wind. It's not exactly baseball conditions. So I myself say, okay, what's going to make sense if we can extrapolate some of the numbers, Kevin, that were last year in 2022 and how do they play to 2023? The one thing we know that Corbin had a down season last year. An xFIP for the season, Kevin, was close to 4.80. Wasn't a big strikeout guy and really struggled as a left-handed pitcher with right-handed batters. Last year, Kevin, weighted on base percentage to right-handed batters for the season, 378. ISO power number 206. Both of those elevated. So I myself said, okay, if you're not going to take a straight wager here on like a minus 270 and you still think the Braves are going to win, somebody's going to have to do damage in that lineup. So I went right to the 3-hole and the 4-hole, Kevin. These are anticipated starting lineups for today. Riley and Murphy, both right-handed batters, back-to-back. Why is that important? Last year, again, it's all the numbers we have to go on, Kevin. They did very well against left-handed pitching. Riley with a 336 ISO power number, Murphy with a 235. Weighted on base percentage for both of those, 435 and 365. They're right in the heart of the order. So before them, Acuna, Olsen, Riley, Murphy, all of those guys condensed. If you just look at that and say they're going to score runs, let's just say the Braves only get 4 runs today. It's a really good chance that either Riley or Murphy is going to drive in at least 1 run. If you just play that off at the FanDuel Sportsbook, Kevin, Riley to plus 105 to get an RBI and Murphy to plus 140. You split it, you cash, and you move on with a legitimate chance that both of them have a chance to get an RBI with a great day. Early in the season, I'm looking to have some fun, not looking to bet a lot of money, but keep it in those plus money percentages. I don't want to lay minus money when I'm basically going on a hunch from last year into this year. If I say to myself under normal betting perspectives here, right? Oh, I went 1-1. Oh, you juiced out. You don't do that this way. Take some plus money, match them up against each other, hope for the split, and then also cheer on the 2-0 day.
Understandable there. I'll just say, and we'll see what it checks in like, but plus 220 on a home team on opening day, it comes off principal play-ish. However, when it's 4-0 at the end of the first inning, we know how that goes. Another game to get to here before we just close out this opening segment, Cubs-Brewers. The Cubs on the road, minus 148. They've got Corbin Burns going up against Marcus Stroman here. Did anything catch your eye with this game?
Not too much, Kevin. Same way that we always take it. Look at Stroman. Yeah. Again, we have to keep in mind also, I got this question. And again, you say, Donnie, you're supposed to be breaking this game down. It's more important to set the table for what we anticipate. We do think there's going to be runs this year, Kevin, in Major League Baseball. But again, not in 40 to 50 degree temperatures. And opening day is when every ace takes the mound for your franchise. Let it sink in. Let them get those number 3, number 4, and number 5 pitchers in there. It's hard to say, like, boy, I think Burns is going to get lit up today. That's not what it happens here. Stroman can have a great day at home. It possibly could. That's all we're going to say about this game. Give it some time to let it breathe. Should be a decent game. But again, looking towards the dog.
A lot of the best matchups, though, still to come here. DeGrom versus Nola in a Rangers-Phillies game. Alcantara against Scherzer in Marlins-Mets. We'll continue to break it down. It's the early line right here on Sports Grid.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
A lot of baseball to get to here. Don't want to waste too much time. We make the move right now to Rangers-Phillies. Jacob DeGrom's Texas Rangers debut goes up against a team he's very familiar with, though, in the Philadelphia Phillies. Now, DeGrom, at home, minus 134. That is not a usual DeGrom home number, Donnie. I think it speaks volumes to the Phillies being good. I think it speaks more, though, to the idea that the Rangers are not supposed to be as good as the New York Mets. Mets never would score, though, for DeGrom here. So what really would be the difference with the Rangers. What do you think here when you see DeGrom versus Nola?
Yeah, the two teams that really know each other, but basically it's the pitcher that knows the Philadelphia Phillies, right? And the Phillies know the pitcher. Well, that's not always a good thing here because Jacob DeGrom usually has his way with the Phillies. But again, you could probably say that, Kevin, against Jacob DeGrom versus anybody in Major League Baseball. I mean, how many times does this guy actually get lit up? He's healthy to start the season. We'll see how long the Rangers let him go. But the Phillies lineup does look a little bit different here on opening day. Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, JT Realmuto, Derek Hall, Nick Castellanos in the first five. Well, you don't see Bryce Harper in lineup, obviously not coming back for at least 60 days. And then Rhys Hoskins leaves that hole at first base, now filled in by Derek Hall. You take a look at the Rangers. It almost seems like to me the Rangers season, Kevin, put up or shut up this year. Spent a lot of money here. They've improved that ball club over the past 2 to 3 years, but just haven't had the results just yet. Semien and Seager at the top of that lineup. They do deserve to be a favorite, the Rangers, over the Phillies, even though the Phillies coming off a World Series here with their ace on the mound. Yeah. This is going to be a tough one. If we're looking at low totals at 6.5, this one actually screams like, you know what? It's a dome. We're not worried about weather conditions. But if those two pitchers are decent today, where do the runs come from?
Well, I think the answer then might be, maybe the bullpens give it up. How long are these guys going? That is an opening day question that we're not going to know all well here. And look, I said this. It probably comes off gimmicky, but it's really not. I probably am going to bet all the games that are at 6.5 over the number. Just under the idea that we shouldn't have 6.5s anymore in the 2023 version of Major League Baseball. And we'll see if that works out or not. And that's going up against some of the elite arms in baseball here. But as you see, these are good lineups, right? Just, you know, Trey Turner, Kyle Schwarber, JT Realmuto, Nick Castellanos, Marcus Semien, Corey Seager. Like, these are solid enough lineups here to make a little bit of a dent. I'm going to be looking at that number. And the next game has also 6.5 number. Alcantara, Scherzer, 6.5. Scherzer's a favorite on the road. Home dog Alcantara? Is that justifiable there? With the Mets lineup versus the Marlins, what do you see when you look at these two teams?
It is. It's funny that you say this, too, because when you look at it there, a minus 126 for the Mets, you go, boy, like Scherzer on the road. They're getting respect here as their favorite. But also you have to remind how good Alcantara was last year. The Cy Young Award winner is actually an underdog at home in his ballpark, which is cavernous. So that's something to play out. But if you just look at the rosters themselves, how they're constructed, Nimmo, Marte, Lindor, Alonso, McNeil, Canha, Vogelbach, Escobar, Narvaez to start here for the Mets, the anticipated starting lineup, it's much, much better than the Marlins are. But is this one of those where you just try to sneak out and say, hey, maybe a first five under at this point, maybe a slight dog price through the first five here for Alcantara and the Marlins might make some sense? Because the one thing we could probably pencil in, if you're looking at one game today that you go, boy, that ended 2-1, this is the game that actually feels like it could do that. Cavernous ballpark, dominant pitchers on the mound, and let's see what happens.
Look, and that's to make the point here. Again, when I say I'll bet all the 6.5s over, it's not to suggest that there's no longer going to be 2-1 baseball games, right? But it's about value, and could the value exist here in this game? It's certainly possible. Very interested to see as well. Just some guys with prior history that have done well. Francisco Lindor, Sterling Marte are guys that have had success against Alcantara. We'll see if that's able to carry over in this matchup. Cardinals Blue Jays is a game that I just, on paper, big fan. Big fan of Cardinals Blue Jays there. You've got a division favorite in St. Louis at home, catching a short number. Minus 110, the Blue Jays. Minus 106, St. Louis. That number's come St. Louis's direction here. Manoah has the ball. This is a 7.5 total for a Toronto team that I've predicted to make the World Series, and I know you think that they can, at minimum, win that AL East. This is a big game to start for the season here. Just get momentum going the right direction.
It is. Two good pitchers I like, too, that are going to be on the mound. But how about this for once, Kevin? 66 degrees with the wind blowing out the left field. Whoa! Tropic conditions here in St. Louis for the month of March. Now, having said that, I picked the Padres, Kevin, coming out of the NL, because I do think they're overall the most talented team. But do not sleep on the St. Louis Cardinals and their lineup. Now, as you go through, some of the names don't stick out as true blood superstar players, as if you'd say Soto, Bogarts, Tatis, Machado, right? But take a look at this anticipated starting lineup for St. Louis. Donovan, Nupar, Goldschmidt, Arenado, Contreras, O'Neill, Gorman, Walker, and Edmund. Interchangeable, nice lefty-righty splits in that lineup. They're going to be a really dangerous team this year, but the same thing can be said about the Toronto Blue Jays. I told you myself, the guy I think is going to lead Major League Baseball in home runs, Yeah, he's sitting there in the three hole, Vladimir Guerrero. The anticipated starting lineup for that, Springer, Bichette, Guerrero, 1-2-3. That is sensational. Mm. So if we're looking at a game that you say to yourself, like, we might get some runs, 66 degrees isn't 86 degrees, but it's much better, Kevin, than 46 degrees, and you do have a wind blowing out to left field. I think we do get some runs in this ballgame. Could be a fun one, but I wanted to start the preface off by saying St. Louis is a really good baseball team. They probably end up winning the day as well here.
Let's then go get to your Padres, though. They're minus 220, but at least they're at home against the Colorado Rockies. Blake Snell has the ball. 7.5 is the total for this game. Do you want to get involved with the Padres here in opening day? Again, World Series prediction on the table. San Diego super talented, but is there a way you'd like to back them here on opening day?
Yeah, don't know if, again, we're talking about plus money number. That's the key here through the first month. Now, we'll get to later in the season. You want to buy down some team totals that make some sense. You want to pay a price for them. Yes, it's going to work out. We will do that. But if we're trying to take a look at two teams I like on opening day, just to win baseball games, the Atlanta Braves and the San Diego Padres, we're not knocking the Rockies as if they're not a great baseball team, which they're not. But I look at the Padres, even without Tatis, that lineup should be able to do enough damage, and Snell is a good enough pitcher where I would be surprised if they lost opening day. And having said that, with the Braves and how we attack that game to keep the plus money, because if you take the Padres and the Braves in a parlay, it is slightly plus money. One of those teams loses, obviously you don't cash in that bet, but it feels a whole heck of a lot better than laying minus 220 on a game and losing that one. Now, if we're trying to focus on what makes the most sense, and if you think the Padres are going to win, which I do, they're going to have to score runs, obviously, right? 3, 4, 5 runs at the minimum is probably what we're expecting. I should have said 3 runs at the minimum. Maybe in that 5-6 range could be doable here. But right in the middle of that lineup, if we look at Juan Soto and also Matt Carpenter, again, not official starting lineups, just anticipated. Soto in the 2-hole, Carpenter in the 5-hole here. If we do the same approach we did in the Atlanta Braves game where we took Riley and Murphy, how about this? Soto plus 140 to record at least one RBI. Carpenter plus 150 to get at least one RBI in this game or more. If we think they're going to score, you're probably going to get it from the middle of that lineup. And if you're looking at Juan Soto, good enough to hit a home run all by himself, obviously. But even Carpenter in the 5-hole, you don't think Bogart, Soto, Machado, or Cronenworth are going to be on base where he's going to have multiple chances with runners in scoring position to maybe just get a ground out or a single to drive a run in. I think it's a fun approach to have. Again, not much money, but plus money. If you get the split, you cash in, you root for the 2-0.
And if you're someone that likes to also, again, because early season, how much do you have to go off of what guys have done in prior appearances? Jonathan Daza, 8-13 in his career against Blake Snell. Just very, very strong. Machado has good numbers against Herman Marquez. Those two in a hitter prop parlay. Right now, the FanDuel Sportsbook pays out at minus 102. The defending World Series champions, the Houston Astros, they play against the White Sox here. This game will feature Jose Abreu just on the other team. That's one of those moves that I feel like every time I look at the lineup, I go, huh? What? When'd he get over there? Minus 148 for Houston at home. They're going up against Dylan Cease, coming off a phenomenal season last year.
Yeah, heavy favorite for the Astros. I don't know if you could say rightfully so, right? Because you don't have Verlander on the mound here. You don't have Gerrit Cole in the past leading off on opening day as your starting pitcher. You don't have Jose Altuve in the lineup here, but you do get Jose Abreu, which is great, which also, sometimes, Kevin, on opening day, we like to shed a little bit of tears here. Because one of my favorite teams over the past, let's just say 2 or so years, to look at a lineup with a team total was the Chicago White Sox when they were healthy with Jose Abreu. It seems like everybody in the lineup is certainly powerful enough to get the job done. But if we're trying to line up today, what makes the most sense here? Valdez is a sensational pitcher coming from the left-hand side. Cease is very good as well. Will the roof be open today if it's 70 degrees? Probably not in Houston. That's just the way they get down. Maybe looking at an under at this point, but I got to tell you, these are the type of teams that you look for. Get to the third and fourth string pitchers in that lineup. Those two lineups can have fun, but you got two hurlers on the mound opening day. 7.5 seems about right. Not what I'm running to the window to take, but lineups are still pretty impressive, even if a guy switches teams. And also, the Houston Astros have maybe their best player in Jose Altuve out with a broken thumb.
Let's get to the main event. Is it the main event? It's the kind of game tomorrow that are going to shift, I think, futures odds right away. Otani is on the road against the Athletics. He's a minus 235 favorite. Otani is on the mound. He's plus 220 to win MVP. If he dominates the Athletics, I think he's 2-1 or less tomorrow. I know, opening day, that's crazy. People, I really do believe people are just chomping at the bit to back Ohtani as much as humanly possible here. Strikeout prop 6.5, minus 175 to record a base hit. It's the Ohtani show, Donnie.
It is the Ohtani show. Now, let's preface about Major League Baseball, Kevin, the haves and the have-nots. And I'm not even saying the Angels are the haves, even though I think they might have the two best baseball players in the game on their same team and play in a major market. The season we talk about so many times up and down, you say, Donnie, what do you like about opening day? Well, it's fantastic. Baseball's back in our lives, but watch out. Every team's ace is on the mound. We look at the Angels. Of course, their ace is on the mound. Maybe the best pitcher in baseball is on the mound and Shohei Ohtani. You go over to Oakland. Who they got on the mound? Kyle Muller. That's their ace opening. And when I go through the lineup here, Tony Kemp, Aledmys Diaz, Seth Brown, Jesus Aguiar, Ramon Laureano, Jace Peterson, Shea Langiers. I mean, what? This must be like, is this the team that they brought up from AAA that finally got their payday of $36,000 a year? Because that's approximately what that payroll is actually making, I would believe, in Major League Baseball. It's embarrassing that the A's run that out. But as you said, you can't start a better launch point for Shohei Ohtani. Coming off of the WBC, is the best player in the world, leads Japan to a championship there. He's already feels like he's in midseason mode. He's going to be laughing at this lineup 1-9 today, going like, you know what? Hey, by the way, what's the book on these guys? Who cares what the book is? They'll stink out here. You should mow them down left and right today. Heavy favorite. They should win. Why? Because Oakland isn't even fielding a baseball team on opening day. That's pretty impressive.
I would like to understand, why is Gio Urshela minus 220 to get a hit and Trout minus 190? Are we doing trap lines? Yeah. Onto, you know what? That probably is the answer, actually, there. I think you genuinely might have answered my question, because I've seen that movie plenty of times. You go, hold on, I got one at-bat out of Mike Trout. Well, everybody else got five at-bats. What happened? You got hit once, intentionally walked. So that's how it goes. The Dodgers had the Diamondbacks tonight. Urias on the mound. Mm. Late night, Castillo, Bieber. That's your other 6.5 game there. Seattle is a favorite. Anything else, Donnie, quickly? Closing thoughts here on the baseball slate?
We're ready to go. 1 o'clock, you know the place to be. The time is right. It's going to be on Sports Grid. It's going to be Moneyline. It's going to be me and K-Dub. And yes, we will watch the Yankees struggle for their three innings as Kevin blows his top, but let alone we'll get that value on the Yankees team total post fifth inning. That's the way to do it.
Can't wait. Can't wait. Maybe get a guys on first and second in like the second inning.
Ooh.
Cash in zero of the runs there. We look forward to that. And then it's just 2-0 Giants as we head into the bottom of the fifth inning, bottom of the sixth inning. It's going to be a good time. We'll see you on Moneyline, but don't go anywhere. Donnie has to make sure that you listen up.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Final segment of the day for a Thursday edition of the Early Line right here on the Sports Grid Network, Sirius XM Channel 159. We are ready to go. It's Major League Baseball opening day. But before I give some thoughts on that, action-packed show today, 7 to 9 a.m. As usual, we'll be back tomorrow once again for Friday, sort of a recap of opening day. But also, make sure you stick it here with the grid, Sirius XM Channel 159, the rest of the day, baseball, and more baseball, which includes the morning after coming up next with Ben Stevens. Make sure you keep it here. We talked a lot of hot topics today, and also, how about the release of the straw poll in the NBA of who might be the MVP, which also in the FanDuel Sportsbook, now shifting some odds in the direction of Joel Embiid now as the favorite over Nikola Jokic. We'll see where those lines end up and see how effective that straw poll is. Last year, it was extremely effective. Let's see if it holds water once again this year. The Final Four is this weekend. Can't wait for that. Rooting on UConn. We previewed some chances for teams and also players to be the most valuable player in that tournament. There are some big tickets on the line if you get some upsets here. But today, it's a national holiday. It's Major League Baseball. Welcome to the show. Listen up. Baseball's been around for over 100 years. Yeah, we're excited for this. We're ready to go. We are ramped up. But also, this brings more excitement than usual. Why am I saying that? We've actually never seen an opening day like this before, and certainly in quite some time. Every single team in Major League Baseball is scheduled to play today. Fantastic stuff. But more importantly, we are getting a look at some brand new rules coming into which most of the public here, casual fans, you might have gotten a glimpse here in spring training of your favorite team, saw the pitch clock. But now as we see it wind into the season and also for opening day, where you can get a look at 20 or so games, basically, that you're lining up saying to yourself, wow, look how much faster this game is. Look how much more action. Hey, I'm looking to catch a game late night in the Oakland A's game, which usually starts at, what, 10:05? Man, you're going to be up to 1 a.m. You might be done by midnight here with a legitimate chance to watch that and still wake up on the East Coast refreshed and ready for your day. Sensational stuff overall. I can't wait for the season to begin. We're only a few hours away. Keep it right here. Ben Stevens and The Morning After up next.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.